Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and this internet radio show always aims to discuss approaches and ways for a healthier you and a more compassionate and empowered world. Today, my very special guest is Peter McCarthy, author of Adrenaline Nation, who has similar concerns and ideas for improving your health and our nation, and offers a detailed and helpful way to evaluate chronic stress and really shows the chemical and emotional changes set into motion when appropriate measures are not taken to reduce these stressful factors. The consequences of unmanaged stress to ruin our health and bankrupt our economy will be analyzed, and methods to counteract stress will be suggested. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you for having me on the show today.
You're very welcome, and I'm very happy to have you here. Peter, you have a very diversified work profile and broad experience as a military officer, commercial pilot, traditional naturopath, and grassroots political activist. Peter, can you give us some idea of how your family life and values and your work experiences led to your interest in the holistic health field, and how your training in all those fields prepared you to write your new book, Adrenaline Nation?
Well, thank you, Cheryl, and I appreciate the introduction to my background so the audience has a little better perspective of where I'm coming from and my motivation in writing the book. You know, I, like you, I grew up in the New York City area, which I think most people who live there would acknowledge is one of the highest stress level areas of the country in terms of what we have to deal with daily in a lifestyle basis. And, you know, my interest in stress started back in the 80s and 90s. I was on active duty in the military at the time, but I was watching over that period of time my entire parents' generation in my family, my immediate and extended family, perish from what I ultimately learned were stress-caused illnesses, primarily heart disease and cancer. And I also, at that same time, was serving, among other things, as a B-52 pilot and later as a unit commander with a mission to sit nuclear alert. It was, of course, during the Cold War, and that brought its own set of stressors to my attention, both personally as well as my own family, and watching my fellow crew members and their families endure it as well. Later on, after I left the military, I spent 16 years flying Boeing 737s for a major airline and flying up to 140 people all around the country in all different kinds of weather. I'm sure you'll agree that is a stressful
occupation
in and of
itself. That is very stressful. Yeah, having people's lives in your hands. Yeah, very stressful.
Absolutely. And, you know, throughout that time, the common thread that ran through that for me was, what can I do personally to help alleviate my own stress and the stress of my loved ones? But as I saw how incredibly huge, broad, and deep the phenomenon of chronic stress in this country really was, it motivated me to first seek a professional certification as a board-certified traditional naturopath. Secondly, to focus on the topic of stress management as the primary focus in my practice, and then in turn to do research from both my own experiences, those of my family and clients, and really focus in on creating what ultimately became Adrenaline Nation as a service to our fellow citizens.
Peter, I think you would agree that part of the problem is our culture of high achievement is associated with an acquisition of wealth and also a thinking process that says never give up and you can always do better and push harder. And I think our parents or parents in our families came from, you know, from a time when they didn't have so much. So it was very important to them that their children do well. And competition with coworkers, friends, family, and keeping up with the Joneses creates dissatisfaction, stress, unhappiness, and expectations of other people's values and needs. And what happens is we forget our own self-realization and what we need. And we need really to listen to our inner voice and body for self-improvement. But this can only be done in a state of cooperation rather than extreme competition, which causes a lot of stress. Now, I'm not saying we don't need competition, but I'm saying there's too much in our nation now. And we have lost a little bit of our, perhaps, empathy and humanity. And we're pushing the children very hard also to succeed. And this is part of the problem. This is what you saw. This is what I saw as a kid growing up. And it did lead to disease for our parents and our families. And we have to learn to correct this.
Yes, absolutely. And you framed the context of the problem in our society so well, Cheryl. When you look at the societal structure, competition is inherently built into its structure. We're all associated with what I like to call tribes, organizations like our family unit, our church, our school, our company, our county, our city, and each of those organizations, either intentionally or unintentionally, will bump up against the needs, the aspirations, the objectives of those tribes around us, and that inherently creates a form of stress because we come into competition. And sadly, because, as you so clearly pointed out just a moment ago, we've allowed this competitive paradigm, this mindset that we have to beat the other guy, we have to keep up with the Joneses, we have to get better and better and better all the time without recognizing the costs, we really have created a culture that in this country that really doesn't allow us to even enjoy the fruits of our labor. It's always on to the next thing. And it's really sad because in many ways, when you distill it down to its essence, we're still a lot like our ancient ancestors who were throwing stones at each other across a stream for the rights to the water in that stream.
Mm-hmm. Instead of learning to share and cooperate and make this one unified world and nation, and that would take away a lot of stress. But I want to ask you what the cornerstone mission statement of your practice is as a naturopath, and I think perhaps with that we will come to an understanding of how we can work with what we're talking about to provide some relief for some of the thinking of people who are little on their own personal journey without reflecting on what's really needed for cooperating with the whole group.
Well, you know, my mission statement contains two important parts. Number one is to educate my clients with and provide them with a broadened awareness of exactly what is causing stress in their lives. And then secondly, and equally important, to give them the tools and the resources that they need to be able to alleviate that stress so that they can live healthy, enjoyable, and productive lives.
I think in your book you said self-empowerment through new learned information, which helps a person change behaviors that negatively impact their health, those are the twin keys to positive change and growth. And I think as a Reiki practitioner and as a traditional naturopath, we want to teach our clients to employ natural lifestyle approaches which can help the body's own innate healing and health maintenance mechanisms using a combination of in-depth diet, natural vitamins, herbs, and minerals to fill any nutritional gaps, and non-invasive energy work. I think you mentioned this in the book, and I recently had a doctor on. He's an internist and circadian sleep specialist, Dr. Matthew Edlund, and he wrote Healthy Without Health Insurance, and he told us on the show that the body can regenerate even when stressed or ill. It's never too late if not allowed to degenerate too far, because cells are restructuring, and every 7 years we have a whole different body. But the body needs the proper ingredients. So you mention that in your book. You make suggestions about certain important supplements that are essential and other approaches that we need to make to get us back on the right path, conquering stress?
Yes, I do. And I think these are supplements that, because of the built-in inadequacies, what I call the nutritional gaps in the standard American diet, which I abbreviated SAD because it really is very sad, what we consider to be healthy food today in our society. Virtually everyone, whether they eat organic or not, whether they are vegetarian or not, needs to have appropriately identified and structured supplementation to fill in the gaps in the diet. And there are some real common denominators there that I identify in Adrenaline Nation, and they are specifically therapeutic doses of vitamin C, the B-complex vitamins, the omega-3 essential fatty acids, preferably in the form of high-quality fish oil, and trace minerals, primarily those that help to support the stress response, like magnesium, which will allow the body to have the tools, the raw material, to be able to really respond positively when in a stressful situation.
Well, thank you. Those were the ones that I highlighted in your book for myself to make sure I was getting enough of, and you just gave all of them. And Peter, now I'm going to ask you a question, because we use the word stress, but would you believe many people have no idea of what it really is? And is some stress actually good for us? So let's tell everyone what stress is.
Well, as you well know, Cheryl, having read the book, I devote a whole chapter to answering that question. And I did that because I wanted to give the reader a great appreciation of how many different definitions there are of stress. And ultimately, everybody has their unique definition of stress. I just yesterday was speaking before a group, and I asked that question, and virtually everybody in the audience who raised their hand to offer their own definition had a slightly different definition. And the reason that is because stress is brought to us from so many different directions that when we look at an individual definition of stress, it's literally like looking at the corner of a large painting and trying to decide what the object of the painting is by looking at that corner. So I took all of those differing opinions and perspectives on stress, and I distilled it down to the definition that stress is any stimulus that activates the body's fight-flight response, as well as the results of that stimulus. And that definition, when you apply it against some of the well-known and well-regarded scientific research on stress, is very close to what they have discovered also.
Well, stress is actually, also, to be added to that, chemical changes that are going on in the body, in the brain, in the hormonal system. And when out of sync with what it should be, when overactive, creates severe damage to the organs and to the thinking process of the people. But you did mention, and I was interested in this, good stress is called eustress. Is that pronounced correctly?
Yes, it is. It's eustress, and it's spelled E-U-stress.
Mm-hmm.
And some examples of eustress would be having a good workout, doing a good cardiovascular workout, and that could be a brisk walk or a stair climber or a bike ride. Experiencing delight from a visit, from a surprise visit from a relative, winning the lottery, having a wonderful wedding are just a few of the many examples of stress that can produce positive effects on the body. But when people use the word stress, typically they're talking about it, as Dr. Hans Selye defined it, as distress, that unbalancing activation of the stress response, which, if continued to the point where it becomes chronic, you correctly pointed out, does cause destructive changes throughout the body. I mentioned in Adrenaline Nation that stress is a whole body experience, because when the stress response kicks in, it precipitates over 1,400 separate physiological reactions all over the body. And if it's allowed to continue unabated, it, as you pointed out, can cause serious damage.
Yeah. So distress is when it does not resolve itself through an adaptive response, which is an appropriate reaction to the environment and demands made upon us. And this might result in a negative physical, mental, or emotional consequence. And this is chronic stress. And I see it in so many people, in so many situations. And I know that's why you wrote the book, and that's why I'm so interested in helping people to attain some level of comfort in their body, being comfortable in their life, being comfortable in their relationships, being comfortable with the choices they make, because this is the only way towards health on a multidimensional level, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And going on to this, you do mention in the book that we are all energetic beings, and each of us produces and radiates a low-level electromagnetic field that interfaces with the electromagnetic environment around us. And as an energy practitioner, it is my goal to help people rebalance, recognize their energetic presence, and release any blockages, energetic blockages in their thinking or at the cellular level that was created by stress or past emotional traumas, and help the people to align to more empowering thoughts and actions. So tell us something about, you mentioned several important people in your book that I enjoyed reading about. You mentioned Richard Gerber, who's a doctor, in his book Vibrational Medicine for the 21st Century. And how do his ideas, like your own and mine, how will they aid in stress management?
Well, I think one of the most important ways that that occurs is when you read Dr. Gerber's work, you really do come to an increased appreciation, as I did, of all of the different electromagnetic influences that impact our daily lives. And, you know, when people hear the word electromagnetic, they think of something that plugs into a wall socket, and that certainly is the case. You know, I'm talking to you right now on an office phone, and I'm sitting next to my desktop computer, but it goes way beyond that. The smartphones that we use when we're out and about every day. In the case here in Austin, they're now implementing remote electromagnetic sensors for measuring the consumption of utilities. And when you multiply that by leaps and bounds, as has occurred over the last several decades in the 20th century, we're literally walking in a sea of electrons, which we really don't have any idea of how those electrons will impact the body over time. Richard Gerber in particular talks about sick building syndrome, and it was really interesting because in the audience yesterday I had a woman from the State Department of Health Services who told me of a building right next door to their office that had been shut down due to environmental factors. And it's because of these kinds of things that occur, many of which people are unconscious about. They really don't understand how, for example, a steel-framed office building could distort their own body's electromagnetic field and cause health problems, that I wanted to bring that information to the reader's attention in Adrenaline Nation.
Well, it's true. Long-term exposure to the fluorescent lighting, to the equipment that they're using on a daily basis over a long period of time, let's say 40 years, distorts the body's vibrational field at the DNA level, causing damage to the cells. And then let's go on to things like stressful content on television and the media, overuse of technology by our children even in the homes, and long-term exposure to other electrical fields all over, wherever we go. We go into a movie theater. We go into a mall. Aside from that, that's just the equipment. But how about fragmented personal relationships and the gradual isolation of many Americans now, working with their machines and creating an epidemic of loneliness, all this is adding to the stress and to destruction at the cellular level. You mentioned something in your book about the hypnosis of social conditioning, and you talk about the stress stack or elements leading to a weakened immune system and lowered level of joy in life. Now, some of the things we just talked about are doing that, but can you tell us how you set up this system? And it's very easy for people who will read the book to see what specifically they need to address to make changes so that they can get back on a healthier track.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Cheryl. And I'm so glad that you mentioned Deepak Chopra's favorite phrase, or one of his favorite phrases, the hypnosis of social conditioning, because that's an integral concept to why we don't really get a handle on chronic stress in our society. We're literally hypnotized in our society to consider so much of what causes us stress to be a normal part of living. And one of the primary goals of Adrenaline Nation, or writing Adrenaline Nation for me, was to really wake people up to what these were. And that's reflected in the structure of the stress stack. And I wanted to give people a simple but comprehensive qualitative model that they could look at and really understand what all of the different factors are that negatively impact our level of chronic stress, and therefore our state of health. So I divided it up into six categories, and briefly they're dietary influences, the foods and beverages that cause stress, lifestyle influences, and we've talked about a few of them. A couple of the big ones are sleep deprivation, driving in rush hour traffic, and of course you're talking to your audience right outside one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country, which has its own set of stressors every rush hour. Mm-hmm. The cognitive filter, the prism through which we view the world and which therefore determines our psychological reaction to stress. The nutritional gap, which we talked about a few moments ago. Toxic influences, chemical, biological, radiological. And the trigger factor, which can be that super stressful life incident that tips our body's adaptive response past its limits and now causes us to descend into illness. So all of those factors really impact our ability to handle chronic stress, and the idea behind the stress stack is to expand people's definition of stress so they have a better appreciation of exactly what in their lives causes stress.
Well, Peter, yes, you did just a wonderful job of going through, and when the people read the book, they'll see it in detail. You just did it in categories, but you gave quite a bit of information about all those categories, which will be very helpful to our listeners and to people who will read your book. But tell us something about the consequences or physical manifestations of an imbalanced endocrine system, digestive system, reproductive system, crisis system, and dealing with chronic stress. What are some of the symptoms people can start to notice? And I'm noticing them even in the children who have stressed and tired and overextended parents. So what are some of the physical symptoms that people can be alerted to? And when they see it, they know it's time for change.
You're absolutely right. It's time for change. And when you look at some of the major physiological responses, and you've listed some of the major categories just now, Cheryl, you really do understand that you can trace most, if not all of them, back to a chronic stress response. And let's just look at some of the big ones. For women, how many women in this country deal with reproductive issues like PMS or irregular periods or that kind of thing? Well, that's...
Well, fertility issues. I've worked with quite a few young women who have had problems becoming pregnant, and Reiki has helped relax them, address problems that they... and lifestyle changes that they needed to make. And 12 out of 13 women did become pregnant.
Congratulations. That's an outstanding track record.
And
that's
one,
fantastic.
And one, it was not in her best interest to do it, so that's why that didn't happen. But I wanted you really to tell us some of the symptoms or manifestations that people will start to see on themselves or their children.
Absolutely. Well, of course, typically speaking, when a chronic stress pattern establishes itself, the first manifestation is psychosomatic, and you can see it with either depression, anxiety, reduced emotional margin, where you become snappish at people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. Some of the later manifestations can be sleep disturbance, either difficulty going to sleep or, as you progress into adrenal exhaustion, difficulty staying asleep because the body can't regulate itself. We've just discussed reproductive issues, and that's important to understand because at the basic physiological level, the body produces raw material that feeds both the synthesis of the stress hormones and the reproductive hormones. Well, if your body's in fight or flight, if you're being chased by the saber-toothed cat, to use an analogy from our ancient ancestors, you're not going to want to reproduce. Your body is going to shunt that raw material to fuel the stress response. And so now you have the issues of reproductive inability to conceive, like I said, PMS, loss of libido, the list goes on.
And some of the other important ones would be lower back pain, muscle aches, arthritis, impatient behavior, and less enjoyment and happiness in life. And what is life all about? I mean, people do not have to suffer, and they do not have to live with this stress. They have to learn what is being created by their thinking patterns and their behavior that is making them prone to all these illnesses. So we're all working toward the same end. And if alternative methods, and as we're offering here, as you offer your clients, as I offer with energy healing, can work in tandem with traditional medicine as it should, and you say that in your book, you go into all the different modalities which could work very nicely to alleviate stress, we would have a chance to help a lot of people. So, Peter, I want to thank you for the very informative treasure trove guide and practical book you have written, which addresses many of the reasons so many people are experiencing health problems and a less than wonderful quality of life. I highly recommend your book, Adrenalination, to healthcare practitioners, business leaders, and legislators at state and federal levels, and indeed everyone and anyone who wishes to improve their health by having a clearer understanding of how the body works to support us when stress is recognized, understood, and eliminated, and we assist health to flourish physically, emotionally, and spiritually. For more information on Peter McCarthy, go to smartpublications.com, book Adrenaline Nation. Peter, is there another website that you would send people to?
Yes, thank you for asking, Cheryl. First of all, I'd let people know that the book is now available. It was released August 1st to Amazon.com and also in Barnes & Noble. And you can learn more about me and what I'm doing in the area of stress management at my own website of petermccarthy.com.
Very good. Okay. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have demonstrated that stress has become an overwhelmingly negative factor influencing our dietary habits, lifestyle, thought patterns, food supply, and environment. Peter McCarthy has also shown through the cognitive filter concept, which is the prism through which each individual views the world, that our thoughts have a huge impact on the body's reaction to stress. Learning to assess our own actions and our thinking processes about what creates stress or discomfort, and making better choices to reduce physical and emotional stress for ourselves and, very importantly, for our children, will increase productivity and create a healthier nation for future generations. There is a great deal of work to be done towards realizing that very important goal. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com. And please check out the radio pages on my website to listen to over 40 leading professionals discuss ways to achieve greater health, spiritual awareness, and mindfulness, and a higher consciousness or knowing of the forces of energy and the possibilities for your best life.